Welcome back to Clarity Quotecast Podcast. I'm Sergey Yermakov, your host today. And my guest today is Daniel Horvat. And Daniel is covering sales performance management in the north part of EMEA region for SAP. And he's a subject matter expert in this area. And we had a chat with Daniel a few weeks ago and decided that it would be a good idea to showcase sales performance management as like essential part of the quote to cash process. Daniel, thanks for coming to the show. I'll let you introduce yourself before we start.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sergey. My name is Daniel. I'm responsible at SAP for the sales performance management business on the sales side for the EMEA North region. So the UKI, Nordics, Benelux, and France as well.
Okay, perfect. So I think that you have seen many good examples across the region. So I think that it would be a good conversation. You will share a lot of insights for our audience. But let me start first, like with a little bit of an introduction and definition about the sales performance management, what it is, because maybe there will be someone who hasn't like faced this piece of technology and this process. So sales performance management is the process of aligning organizational sales strategies, processes, and resources to achieve desired sales outcomes. So basically, the goal of sales performance management is to improve the organization sales productivity and efficiency. And I think that today, when number of businesses are changing their business models and moving from the product-focused organization to service-focused approach, there is a clear need to have a process that would help to ensure that organization is changing and these changes are aligned with the strategic goals of the company. And I think that what sales performance management does is covering the most important parts of the organizations, and covering this process from the sales perspective. So I think that my first question to you will be the following. How do you see businesses change and how they could support their people to change the way they do business? And how, at the same time, people would accept this change? So how does it happen from your experience and your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, in today's world, everybody's talking about, oh, we're changing our business model, or we're going through so much change. Like, everything is changing, and it's changing faster and faster and faster. And what a lot of organizations forget while they change the products they sell from products to actual services, like you just mentioned, they forget to take the people with on the journey, because you're basically making a 180-degree turnaround in what you are doing as an organization, but you need the people to execute. So aligning people to this change and taking them on the journey is an important piece. And from my perspective, compensation plans and incentives are just the way to enable your strategy, because this is really how you're then aligning your organization on what you want to achieve as a company. So if you're moving away from product A and go to product B, why do people want to change? People don't want to change. People are used to like developing habits and doing the same thing all over again. Of course, we all are motivated to also develop, but the first reaction to change is always, is it needed? Is it dangerous? It is something new. Like, that's just a natural reaction. So taking people on a journey and making it beneficial for them to go on this change, bringing incentives in, this is when you can really enable your strategy as an organization and make this change. Because if you want people to stop doing what they have been doing and you want them to do something else, well, show them how to get there. Give them something which is a goodie or something which just shows, if you're really doing this, this is what is in for you. And with this, kind of boost your strategy shift and take the whole organization with you.
Yes, I think this is like, if we look at the process of going from selling the product to selling services, I think that this process also helps you really to manage the expectations of the people, because then it gives you ability to have kind of, structured way to communicate these expectations and provide like also employees with information about what they need in order to be successful in the new environment. And I think that also like having good understanding of the capacity of the organization and also the capacity of the salespeople, it helps you really to get this, achievable expectations, achievable, realistic goals to be set for the salespeople. That is, I think, extremely important, especially when you have like this kind of, you know, uncertain transitioning process.
Yeah, it's like you want to take the people on the journey, as said, and when you're bringing in like targets and you have to think about, okay, where should the ceiling be? Like, where do we really want people to be, and say, okay, this is where your target should be. I mean, it is a very important process, because if you're aiming for something too high, people will just be like, come on, let's be realistic. There's no chance I'm going to do that. So you're not motivating them. You're actually like pushing them down, and they will not be able to perform at their best because it's just too far away. On the other hand side, you don't want to lowball it, because if people achieve their targets in February, well, what do they do the rest of the year? Of course, achieving them even more makes them even more successful, but it's not really motivating and pushing them to just like really fight hard, go the extra mile, and really go for what is out there from a potential perspective. So it is an art for itself. I think data can help. Data can help in a lot of things. So just to understand, okay, how are we performing in the past? How does the current market look like? And this is really, from my perspective, an evolving process. So it's not like, okay, we change now our business model and therefore we change our compensation plan and our targets. This is something which, from my perspective, has to change constantly. I mean, I don't think there's any organization out there which said, oh, we're going through a change of our business model, and then after a year they said, okay, we're done, and now we're just in a mode where we just put in autopilot and we're running. Like, things keep changing. So whenever you keep things changing, also your compensation plan has to change with it. What kind of KPIs you're incentivizing people on, what the targets are, maybe even during the year, you want to make some adjustments. So it is really an art as such. I don't think there's a blueprint that you can use and say, okay, this is how you do it, and then you'll be successful and everybody will be happy. I think that's unfortunately not possible here, but I think the art in this is to just keep evolving, keep listening to your organization, keep looking at what is out there in the market, and just think about, what do we want to achieve as a company, and what can we give our people to go on this journey with us and enable us to be successful with this?
Yes, and I think, like, from my perspective, two things here. Like, first of all, you have to constantly adjust your incentive programs, right, on the regular basis, and I think that probably once per year, at least, it should be done. I think that another thing is that basically you are able to also monitor the progress and also adjust the system as you go during, for example, during the year on the quarterly basis, on a monthly basis. Like, for example, special incentive programs could be introduced if we're lacking the result, or maybe, yes, the additional motivational components of the program could be introduced for those who has overachieved significantly.
Yeah, I'm fully with you. I mean, good. There's so, two components to it.
I think.
Apologies, I think we have a delay in the connection.
Yes, please.
Just one thing I wanted to add here. It's like, ultimately, you want to drive the behavior of people, because if you can drive their behavior into the direction that you as a company go, you will be successful. And therefore, this constant change is needed. But you will not be able to motivate people and drive them in a certain direction if they just don't see, oh, how am I performing actually? Where am I against my target? Where am I maybe missing out? Because out of the three KPIs that I measured on, in two, I'm just overachieving, but in one, I barely achieve anything. So just having this transparency is key to just understand, okay, are we on the right course? Or do we maybe have to readjust a little bit to be successful together?
Yes, you are right. I think that, like, if you look at this from the typical challenges perspective that customers face, so what you would be indicating as the primary challenge the companies face when they're setting up their compensation models, and what would you offer, like, as a kind of a solution for that?
Yeah, I think the main challenge is process-wise, from what I'm just seeing in the market, is that a lot of companies come from a point where they say, oh, we also have to do sales incentives now. What are the typical one or two things that you normally pay your sales teams on to be successful? And they're kind of trying to roll it up from there. Whereas in reality, you should come from an angle to really sit down and think, like, What do we want to understand? What do we want to achieve as a business? Like, where do we want to go? And then you have to break it down from there and say, like, okay, how can I transfer this to all the different levels in my organization so they can focus on the right things? Because if they focus on those things and they will be successful with that, that will roll up again and will make us as a company successful. So I feel like a lot of companies are starting from the wrong angle and don't look at it holistically to really think like, ultimately, it's about being successful as an organization and not about having sales incentives for the purpose of having them. And the reason for this is because a lot of companies use spreadsheets to do the management. And Excel is great. Excel can do a lot of things, let's be honest. The world wouldn't be the same without Excel spreadsheets. Like, it's keeping us all alive. But if you're reaching a certain size as an organization and a certain complexity, relying on Excel is, in my opinion, just not the way to go. It will bring you into difficulties. Either it will become such a mess with different sheets, different tabs, all links and macros and pivot tables and you know what else you put in there. So as soon as a person leaves and somebody else comes in, have fun just deciphering what was actually being built there. It works, but have fun figuring out what actually happened there once it happened. So that's the number one part. It's just getting really messy to administer that. And therefore also errors happen because there's people involved, there's manual errors. We're all human, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. That's not a blame to anybody, but that just causes errors ultimately. And an error in the calculation or in the management of those incentives will cause to ultimately an error in how you're paying people. And if you don't get pay rep right, Sergey, I think you wouldn't be happy. You wouldn't trust your employer. And if you don't trust your employer, how should you perform? How should you make them successful? You know, it's like, it's such an important piece. So I think the typical challenges is really coming from the right angle to set up the plan in a way which is set up for success for the company. And then to really get some technology or some process in place that just helps to be on spreadsheets. So you get away from this tactical, we have to make sure that the calculation is right. And you can start thinking about how can we evolve throughout and make small adjustments, bringing in a multiplier, a spiff, changing a bonus component to keep this alignment while your business is changing.
Yes, you raised an extremely good point, you know, and I have my personal experience with such a transition to the compensation application when the idea of the company was to introduce the tool that would be helping basically employees to first of all track their progress in the real time, understanding how their opportunities are getting closed and what they would be compensated on the quarterly basis. And then it turned out that the system was not implemented correctly, which basically resulted, first of all, the wrong information provided to the people, which was like demotivating them a lot. Second thing was that they hasn't been paid accurately. And at the end, it turned out that company overpaid because they were not able to calculate the commissions probably. And this basically resulted that, first of all, the decision was not to ask them to return the money, of course, but from the other side, we clearly see the consequences of such decisions, right? So first of all, you are getting demotivated people. Secondly, you are just losing money in some cases, or you are losing like the employees that you have, because they maybe get this impression that they wouldn't be paid at the end properly, and they start looking for another job. And I think that these like are super critical things that companies should also consider when they think about like properly compensating their sales force. I'm sure you have like more examples from your experience. Would be maybe share some good ones? I shared the bad one. Maybe the good ones are more interesting.
Yeah, you shared a bad one, but it just shows. I mean, most people who get incentives are in the sales world. And if you're looking at the different departments that an organization has, the sales department is the department with the highest turnover rate. And if you're asking salespeople why they leave, the number one reason they will give you is compensation. So if you want to, in this highly competitive market for good salespeople, if you want to stick out, you don't necessarily just have to be the highest paying one, but you have to be the one that pays accurately on time and that gives transparency. Because the one thing every salesperson does is sitting in the morning with their Excel spreadsheet just to figure out, like, okay, how much am I going to be paid at the end of the month if my 3D is closed? Like, they all do it. Just if they say they don't believe them. They all do. Like, it's an obvious thing they do. But if you give them something like a mobile app or a dashboard where they can track it, that's a difference. They don't have to like build these Excel sheets themselves. They're salespeople. They don't like Excel. They just want a fancy dashboard, a mobile app where they can just see it. So having this experience just can justify, I don't know, 10, 15K less in OTE, but your compensation is straight. Like, they know what's happening. They know how to be successful, and they don't spend hours every week just to figure out, okay, what do I actually have to do to get to this OTE and make it worth working here? So just on a side note to what you just gave as a bad example, positive example. I mean, I can, from my own experience, if you're looking at SAP, where I'm currently working on, SAP went through one of the biggest changes you can think about. Coming from an old on-premise world, people still know SAP for being an on-premise company and wanting to become a cloud company. I mean, it's a huge task if you think about it, with all the legacy and history that comes with it, to make this shift. And it all starts with getting your organization into the same boat. So if you shout into the market, hey, we want to be a cloud company, well, that's great, but you have to start acting like one. And the ones acting are not just people on the board level, it's the people in the field that connect with customers, partners, and everybody out there on a daily basis. So you have to get them on board, and they have to live the cloud mindset. What is the easiest way to get them there? How do you get people to change? Well, if you suddenly stop paying them for on-premise revenue, on-premise services, and all these kinds of things, and you start only incentivizing them on cloud revenue, that's when it slowly starts. Like, that's when people realize, okay, I have just a limited time of hours every week. There's a lot of things I can do. There's a lot of things I can focus on. But actually, the only thing where I get a personal benefit from is if I'm focusing on the cloud part, not the on-premise part anymore. So this is like how SAP started to make the shift to get away from, okay, also being an on-premise company and behaving like one, and starting to go into the direction of becoming a cloud company. It starts with the incentive scheme, and this is just one example. To bring in another one, potentially thinking about one of the clients we have globally, take Maui Jim, the sunglasses company from Hawaii, everything Aloha Ohana. They were in full growth mode. They put in a solution because they said, we're growing so much, we cannot handle it with spreadsheets anymore. We know there's errors, we gotta do something. And everything was about growth. But then this lovely thing called COVID happened, and things changed. Shops had to be closed, and a lot of companies, also Maui Jim, had to go away from being just driven for growth. That was just not possible anymore. Going all the way to, okay, we have to think about our margins. We have to stay profitable to get through this time. So shortly after rolling out a new compensation plan for the beginning of the year, COVID hit in February, March timeframe, and everything had to be rechanged. If you're then in a position that you can quickly make these adjustments and throw overboard your compensation plan in just 2 weeks or something like that, like, that's a key difference. If you need half a year to change your compensation plan just because you have to rebuild all those spreadsheets, you missed 6 months of COVID. Your compensation plans are not reflecting on what is realistic, and you're missing out on what you need to achieve as a company. And they were able, thanks to technology, to make this shift within just a few weeks to be ready for the COVID times and incentivize people on margin-based KPIs rather than really growth perspectives, which helped them to get through the time pretty successful as well.
Okay, you just raised a very interesting point. So several episodes ago, we had a discussion about CRM and how CRM has changed after the COVID, and what is the business readiness. And I think that from this perspective, this is essential component really on how to get ready for this kind of the lockdowns and basically some kind of the, you know, reasons that is affecting and dramatically changing your business model. And I think from that perspective, this agility of the system is something that really allows you to react faster also from the business perspective.
Yeah, and it can be such significant things like a new COVID wave and with that a new lockdown. But it can also be, it can just be smaller things. you're looking at your at the numbers for the quarter and you're just realizing, oh, we're missing out as a company on the revenue in this division or in that region, or our margin is not amazing here, or our net promoter score is not where we want it to be for a certain part of our business. Well, if you can analyze those things and you just have those insights, well, you need to act quickly. If you can see in May that actually you won't hit your quarter numbers, but if you just need 2 weeks to make changes and bring in a spiff or a multiplier to like make people focus on this specific KPI, you still have whole June to fix it and to maybe achieve your target still. So having these abilities to not just see and understand what's happening, but also react quickly, I think COVID just showed people also in the compensation space that agility and flexibility is key to just be fast and adapt on the spot to create the right business outcomes and drive the behavior into the respective direction.
Yes, I think that this is like a very interesting perspective, and this is really bringing a lot of value. In addition to all the measures that companies are taking during the lockdowns and COVID and similar cases. So yes, I think that we covered quite a lot of benefits already. But if we like summarize what we discussed a little bit in a way that we try to create several recommendations for the companies who are like stepping into these transitions, like for example, moving from the product into the subscription world, or like radically changing their business models. What would be your recommendations for this type of the companies, where they should start and how to make this transition a success from the sales compensation and motivation perspective?
Yeah, let me mention three things that are coming to my mind that I just wanted to bring up here. Number one, just look at your compensation plans. Think about what are we paying people on and what kind of behavior does this trigger? Like what will people focus on based on their current compensation plan? And then next to this, you put what you actually want to achieve as an organization. And if those two things don't match, that's when you should be looking at, okay, we got to change something about our compensation plan because it just doesn't motivate the behaviors or trigger the behaviors that actually make us successful as a company. So that's number one, make really sure that your compensation plans are aligned to what you want to achieve as a company. Number two, think about the people who have to make this work every single day. There's people in your organization that are responsible to make sure everybody gets paid correctly when it comes to their bonus, their sales incentive, their commission, however you want to frame it. If they use Excel manual processes, it's a hell of a job to make it right. And if they don't make it right, the people who receive the payment are suffering because they will be paid wrongly. And then you're losing trust and you're losing step by step the best people in your organization because they will get the right payment somewhere else where they feel trusted, where they feel that their compensation is reliable. So help those people, automate the calculation and give them the possibility to get away from tactically just making sure the calculation is running, to get them into a direction where they can just think like, okay, how can we improve this? Are we getting the benefits out of this that we want? Are we triggering the behaviors that we want? To like have the capability to stay evolving and be ahead of the game, so to say, while your business is changing, that your teams have just the capacity to also let the compensation plans evolve. And then the third thing, talk to your salespeople. They're the ones getting the payments. They're the ones getting the commission. Talk to them and ask them, hey, what do you think about this process? Is it going well? Are you happy with it, with the amount of times we pay you, the accuracy, the transparency that you get throughout the period already before the payment is coming? How is it if you feel like something's not right? Is the dispute process in a way which makes it easy for you that you understand why your payment was made in a certain way? And is it then handled quickly, or does it take 2 weeks to just get an answer back from somebody? Talk to them and get the feedback. They're the ones experiencing it, and they will be able to guide you into the direction where there might be some things you want to tweak going forward.
Yes, I would only add to that. So for all the businesses who are looking into the way to how to set up their subscription or services model, like what kind of the pricing, like what is the best way to define it, and how the systems should be integrated in order to perform in the best way. I think that this is like additional component that should be a must for every strategy of business model change. And yes, what I really liked that we managed to look at this at the quote to cash today from the different perspective, and I think it brings a ton of value to the companies that are basically moving that direction. So Daniel, I would like to thank you for being with us today. It was very valuable, and I think a lot of people would really find this useful in their journeys. And for listeners, so as always, our subject matter experts, so we're one click away at clarity.show. You could reach out to us and we will provide you any additional information that you require on the topic. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks, Daniel.
Appreciate you for having me, Sagan. Looking forward to more conversations around this.
Thank you.